Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm actually down in Austin, Texas, and right now I've been attending a four-day MBA program put on by Keith Cunningham. I was referred to this by Jerick Robbins, and it's been a crazy, interesting kind of experience going through this. But while I was coming out, I was trying to record some of the ideas and thoughts recently as we kind of transition to this next phase of Funnel Hacker Radio. I want to talk a little bit about culture, and soon I'll come back to, I'll do a podcast or two just on the things I've learned from Keith Cunningham. Brilliant guy. If you haven't already gotten his book, take a look at The Road Less Stupid. But I want to talk to you a little bit about this whole concept of culture. So we're going to be in the process of making a transition here in the podcast over the next couple of weeks into this idea of really focusing on how do you build a massive following, a culture. And for us, it's going to be join us on our journey from 70,000 to 100,000 rabid fans or funnel hackers or building this whole culture. For us, it's a journey from 70,000 to 100,000 excited culture building funnel hackers. So that's our whole focus. And I want to make sure you understand some of the things we're going to be going through. But to do that, I need to give you a little bit of backstory, some backstory on some of the different quote unquote cults that I've joined. And I use cults more as a, not in a religious standpoint, but more than this whole idea. We talk a lot about culture. Because if you've read Russell's book about expert secrets, you understand the importance of really building a following that is almost cult-like following, almost to the point where people will literally follow because they're so excited about it. So there's four different ones I want to talk to you about. Two I joined a long, long time ago, and two I've joined just recently. So the first one I probably joined, it's probably been almost 10 years now, and that was Apple. Apple is by far one of the most exciting companies to follow and to look at and to see how they've built this crazy business. Most people really thought they were in the business of creating computers, and that's really what they were known for at first. But then Steve Jobs had this amazing ability to build more of a marketing company than an actual hardware company. And in doing so, he built a marketing company that right now actually doesn't even produce their own products. They actually outsource all their products. But because of the marketing company they built and because of the passion that exists among anybody who follows in Apple's footsteps or buys their products, you literally find everybody else trying to compete with Apple. In the PC world, you either had a PC or you had a Mac. And there's, again, I'm in Austin, Dell's capital here. Dell's in Round Rock, just 30 minutes up the road from me. But no one really thinks of, well, do you have a Dell? No, you just have a PC. But do you have a Mac? And as soon as you say a Mac, everybody knows. I love watching in our inner circle, our Two Comma Club X coaching program, or even at Funnel Hacking Live, anywhere I go these days, and you see people taking out their computers, all I see are Apple lights. That's all I see. Rarely ever do I see a PC these days. And it's mind-blowing to me. You see the same thing right now where all the other phone companies are trying to compete against an iPhone. And they've built this following where it doesn't necessarily have to be the very best product, but what it has to be is something that someone connects with. Somewhere they say, you know, I am like this group. I like what they stand for. I like what they represent. I like what they do. I like the innovation. I like the creativity. I like the graphic, whatever it might be. For me, as far as Apple, one of the main things I love about it is how seamlessly everything always works together. I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have an iMac, I have everything. I've become this iJunkie. And again, it started with just one product. But because they did such an amazing job at customer service, again, you go into the Apple store and you go to meet with the Genius Bar, and not necessarily everyone behind there is a genius, but they're so helpful. They're so aware of the customer journey, the customer experience. When you buy something, literally the person who you meet right there, they have the product brought out to them and you purchase on the spot. I don't have to go stand in line or anything else. They understand the customer journey. More importantly, the customer journey that I want, the experience that I want to have. They've already They've already gone through it. They understand what I want. And because of that, I literally will say no to a whole bunch of other things. I will drive further just so I can get to an Apple store. So Apple's one of the main quote-unquote cult-like businesses that I've been following and I actually participate in. Another one is Jeep. I've been married now 25 years. We're going on to our 26th year. And my very first introduction to my wife when we got married was her dad. And her dad has been, I think her dad is, for her whole life, has always had a Jeep. Whether it was a Jeep Grand Cherokee, a Jeep Wrangler, whatever it might be. I remember living with, I think it was in the first couple months that we got married. He always had a Jeep Wrangler, but his wife, my mother-in-law, got a brand new Grand Cherokee. And I remember getting in that, oh my gosh, it was the smell of this genuine leather seats. And it was almost like a pillow top seat back then where you sat in it and you just felt this luxurious experience in a Jeep. And I thought, oh my gosh, they've totally upped their game. And then later that day, we hop into Chuck's Jeep and it's the smell of gasoline. It's the smell of the experience of a four-wheeling ride that was definitely not the most luxurious, comfortable ride, but it was everything that a Jeep represented. And when my boys got to be 16, the first car I decided to buy for them was a Jeep. And if you get to know anyone in the Jeep culture, one of the things you'll know is the Jeep wave, where it's more so with the Wranglers than it is with the Grand Cherokees or anything else. But anybody's got a Wrangler, you will find that they understand the Jeep wave. And my son Christian is so funny with it because it's not one of these obnoxious waves where you're like, hey, how you doing? Trying to get their attention. No, it's the subtle, my hand is over the top of the steering wheel and my fingers just come up just enough to say, hey, yeah, I see you. You got the same thing I got. We're good. And it's this whole Jeep-like culture. So now all of my boys have this passion for Jeeps. It started with their father-in-law. I brought Chandler into it when he got his first car, and then Parker, and now Christian and Jackson soon to follow. But it's been fun because all of them understand the Jeep wave. They all my youngest son Jackson, his buddy just got a Jeep Wrangler, an older one, and it's just, I mean, there's a terminology, there's a vocabulary, everything is behind this. My only reason to mention this is when you start looking at products and you start looking at building a culture, you've got. There's a vocabulary behind it. It's not uncommon with the Jeep. It's almost this secret handshake, secret wave, whatever it might be. And the amazing thing is, as you start talking to people, you very, very quickly can identify whether they are part of it, the group, or if they're not. So those are the two that I've been a part of for a while. The two that I've just recently joined it's been an interesting experience joining them. So the first one is Allbirds, and these are tennis shoes that, again, they're super, super comfortable, but the crazy thing about it is I didn't realize how many people had them, and the very first person who introduced them to me was our co-founder, good friend, Todd Dickerson, and whenever Todd travels, I've never seen anybody, Todd literally will leave Atlanta, he'll come to Boise for a week with just a backpack. I'm like, where are all of your clothes? He goes, I got them all in my backpack. And I'm like, how in the world can you? And again, Todd is super simple. It's always so funny because he reminds me so much of almost a Steve Jobs mentality. Black shirts, black jeans, and then Allbirds. That's what he wears. And he wears it all the time. And so I was talking about this whole Allbird thing. He's like, oh my gosh, Dave, these are the most comfortable shoes. They're super lightweight. And goes through all this different stuff. He says, the part I love the most about them is if they get dirty, I literally just throw them in the wash and they're brand new, spanking clean. He goes, so they're easy to travel with. And I'm like, really? So I didn't think much about it. And then I was going through Instagram and all of a sudden Allbirds came up. I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try this. So I bought a pair of Allbirds and they came. And the coolest thing is when they come in a box, you open this box up and inside, I mean, they are positioned perfectly in the box for shipping and for travel. So they don't move around. They have this little cardboard wedge that is there. And then the shoes are basically side by side. And when you, and inside where the tongue area is you pull this out and it's basically a smiling bird looking at you and on cardboard. And each one of them has it. You put them on and they instantly fit. They are the softest shoe. They mold to your feet. They're just amazing shoes. So I wore them literally for the first day. I walk into the office and all of a sudden I see John Parks has a pair. Jamie Smith has a pair. Clayton Fletcher has a pair. I'm like, you guys got to be good. And then I said, they saw mine and they're like, oh my gosh, you're going to love it. And they go on and on and on about this crazy, amazing experience that they've had. And I'm like, I didn't ask for it, but I'm literally getting testimonials thrown at me by the consumer here. And I'm thinking, how do you build a product that is that good? That literally, I've never seen it advertised on TV. The only place I've ever seen it advertised is on Instagram. And then all of a sudden I go home and my son Chandler's like, oh my gosh, Dad, those look like the most comfortable shoes in the world. I'm like, dude, they totally are. We happen to wear the same size. I said, go ahead, try them on. He puts them on and literally while he has them on, he goes online and buys a pair. And then I'm like, that is crazy. So I go back to the office 2 days later. And while I'm there, John's got a different pair on. I'm like, John, how many pairs of these do you have? He goes, I don't know. I think I got three or four. I'm like, seriously? So I went in my office and I bought another pair. And again, I'm now traveling with them out here in Austin. They literally are some of the most comfortable shoes, the most versatile shoes. They're super lightweight. And you literally, they're dirt. Whenever they get dirty, you literally just throw them in the wash. They're the most easy, comfortable, and easy to take care of shoe you'll ever find. And they're like $100, $95, I think is what it is. And so John then goes on to tell me about his wife, Vanessa. She has a pair. And I'm literally getting pitched by all of my friends who are wearing them about how awesome these shoes are. I've had a ton of shoes in my lifetime. No one has ever pitched me on their shoes like I got pitched on Allbirds because of the culture and because of this great product. And so as you start thinking about, as I look at trying to get to 100,000 cult-like, excited, passionate funnel hackers, I'm right now out here in Austin thinking, what do we need to do? What more can we do? How can I enhance the customer journey? What types of things can I add to the customer experience that people are so excited they literally start talking to anybody and everybody they know because they're having such an amazing experience? So that's the third. So it was, first of all, it was Jeep, then it was Apple, then it was Allbirds. The fourth one happened just last week. So while we were out, I think we're actually at Funnel Hacking Live. My youngest son wasn't with us, but ends up totaling my car. I've had this car literally. So it was a 2002 Lexus S3 black convertible. And it was, you know, 240,000 miles on this thing, but still looked in great shape. Primarily because it'd been wrecked by a couple of my other boys. It'd been painted. And I'm like, okay, you know, with young teenage boy drivers, I'm just not going to get a new car. And I think my wife has had four different SUVs during the period of time I've had this. I've bought like eight or nine cars for my family during the period of time that I've had this one Lexus. So anyways, the Lexus is totaled and I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, what am I going to get? You have to understand that I don't drive. I mean, I am literally maybe a mile, 2 miles at most from my house to our office. And so while I'm there, I'm thinking, I don't need a car. I don't want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a car, on this exotic car. I've played that whole exotic car game. I love it. I'm a car guy at heart. I love them and everything else. But I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense. I can't logically justify this, even though I'd love to. So I started thinking, you know, maybe I just find a used Maserati. I love Maserati. The one I really wanted, the Aston Martin. I've driven the Ferraris and everything. And I'm like, what am I doing? So I thought, all right, let me just go on to Lease Trader because I don't want to get my youngest son, Jackson, is going back and forth whether or not he wants the Jeep or if he wants to get a truck. And I'm thinking, well, if he's going to get a truck, I'm going to keep the Jeep. And as I'm going back and forth through this, I thought, you know, if I'm going to get a car, maybe I'll just lease one, but I don't want to lease for the next 3 years. So I went to Lease Trader, and leasetrader.com is a site where you can literally go and buy people out of the end of their lease. So if someone's trying to get out of a lease for whatever reason, you can literally get like the last 6 months or year or whatever it might be. So I start going through and looking at different cars. All of a sudden, I come across a Tesla. And I'm like, you know what? I've always loved Elon Musk and what he's done with Tesla and all this kind of stuff. I thought, maybe I'll take a look at Tesla. Well, all of a sudden, this one pops up and it's like $620 for the next $14 or 14 months. And I'm like, oh, that's a no-brainer. So I contact the guy and he's like, he didn't get back to me for a week or so. I kept following up with him. I finally get in touch with him. He goes, Dave, I've been out of town. I've been traveling. I just got back in town. He says, there's a couple other people who want the car. I said, listen, what's it going to take for me just to take this car off the market? He goes, well, do you want to put some money? I said, sure. So I PayPal'd him $500 and he instantly takes it off the market. So now I'm sitting there going, now I got to go through all the transfer. And Tesla is just a unique experience when all of a sudden you start working with Tesla. With LeaseTrader, usually you just buy out the lease or you quickly get a different financing company. Tesla will only allow Tesla to finance Tesla cars. So in doing this, I have to work through Tesla Financial and I then get assigned a person. And I'm like, wow, that's a unique experience. So my person through this whole process is Erica. And so both the guy I'm buying the car with, his name is Wayne, and this lady's name's Erica. So Erica is dealing personally with Wayne and I on this transaction. I'm like, that is a really super cool experience. So we go through this and it takes a couple weeks and all of a sudden I'm heading out for spring break. I'm going to be gone and the car is going to be delivered. So I'm coordinating with the delivery company and everything else. And so when the car, as I'm doing all the coordination, I thought, you know, I better go hold this Wayne guy and make sure everything's going to be okay. When this transportation company picks it up, he's out in New York, I'm in Idaho. And I call Wayne as we're literally driving from Boise down to Moab, Utah for spring break. And this is the first time I've really had much of a conversation with him. And I'm driving thinking I've got plenty of windshield time. Let's just see what's going to happen in this conversation. So I start talking to Wayne. This is the guy who is selling me the lease. And I'm thinking he must be in, you know, maybe financial hard times. He's got, you know, I don't know what. Typically, why would you get out of a lease unless you had to type of deal? At least that's my thought process going into this phone call. So I start talking to him and I'm like, so Wayne, tell me, why did you decide to get out of the Tesla? And, you know, what are you going to get next? He goes, I'm sorry. I thought I explained all that to you. He goes, He goes, oh man, is this your first Tesla? I'm like, yeah, it is. He goes, oh, I'm so excited. You're going to have the most amazing experience you could even imagine. You will literally be a Tesla fan from here on. You will only have Teslas. I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. I've never met him. We're just having this conversation on the phone. And he's like, I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, I thought I explained to you what I was doing. He goes, no. I said, I have no idea what are you doing? He goes, well, I bought another Tesla. I'm like, you're leasing this Tesla, so you're getting out of this lease for another one? He goes, yeah, this is actually my 14th Tesla. I'm like, 14th Tesla? He goes, well, that's between me and my wife and my three kids. I'm like, are you kidding me? He goes, no, you have to understand, this is the most amazing driving experience you could even imagine. He says, for one, yes, it's a super fast car and they're super sleek. The body style is amazing. The lines are awesome. But when you start working with Tesla, you're part of the family. And so welcome to the Tesla family. I'm like, who is this guy? And my wife's going, who are you talking to as we're driving down to Moab? And we literally have a conversation for the next 20 to 30 minutes about how awesome Tesla is. This guy happens to own they remodel high-end kitchens and he has a cooking studio and teaches people how to cook. And so one of the things because he is in love with Tesla, he now started talking to Tesla and they actually have Tesla driving days where they all will come together and they will all go on a drive together or they will all meet for wine and cheese. And that's one of the things he sponsors. So the people up in the New York area all come to Wayne's business on a quarterly basis or semi-annual basis for wine and cheese. And they just have this, and all of a sudden we start having this crazy conversation about the car and how amazing the car is, but more importantly about the people and about the company. And he goes, Dave, you're going to be, yeah, like Erica right now is who's assigned to you for this transaction. But as soon as the transaction finishes, you're then going to be assigned to someone else who's your customer service representative. And they, anytime you need anything at all, that's who you contact. I'm like, really? He goes, you have to understand, Tesla is a publicly traded company. Because of that, they have quarterly numbers they have to hit. And so I got a call from my person last month. He said, listen, we've got a couple cars we're trying to clear out of our inventory and stuff. If you'd like, what would you like to buy whatever the next car was? And he goes, yeah, I'd love to. So that's why he bought that one. He then goes on to tell me that his wife has the Tesla. So this is the Tesla S. His wife has a Tesla X, which is kind of the SUV with the gullwing doors that are super, super cool. And while we're on the phone, he goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. If you know anybody who wants the X, I'm selling my wife's X because of the same situation. So he's buying two brand new Teslas, all because the sales rep, because he has a relationship with them, calls him and offers him a great deal because of this. And so I'm going through this listening and thinking about the impact that the relationship he has with a company, to the point where he literally is having the wine and cheese gatherings at his corporate office. He literally is going out of his way to make sure that I feel comfortable with his the new car. And so when I get when I get back, the car is parked in my garage. Miles was kind enough to actually go and have, so I had the car delivered to the office, and Miles took it and charged it all up and had it sit in my office. And so when I open up the hood, thinking there's an engine there, of which there's not, there's a gift from Wayne, and it's this gorgeous cutting knife that is a ceramic blade and everything else, just saying, welcome to the family. So you have to understand, this is not Tesla. This is a Tesla owner who has welcomed me to the Tesla family because he's so excited about it that he goes out of his way, own way, to provide a gift to me without Tesla even knowing about it. So my only reason to mention this to you is I want you to start thinking about the customer experience, the customer journey. How excited are your customers about working with you? What is the pain that you overcome by, what is the pain that you solve? Is it just something where it's like an aspirin and they're never going to talk to you, anyone else about it? Or is it an experience where they overcame such an amazing pain that all of a sudden they're telling everybody in the world about this crazy product or service or company that you are? Same thing happens as far as when you start looking at other companies and the way in which they interact with you, the customer service. There's nothing that – so while we were here in Austin, I had the experience of talking to Keith Cunningham about ClickFunnels, about some things we're doing. And one of the things he was talking about was the importance of making sure that new customers are – that your existing customers are treated as well as, if not even better than, new customers. I thought, what are you talking about? He goes, well, have you ever had the experience where, especially like with mobile phone companies or cable companies or anything else, or satellite dish, where they have these great offers for new customers, but if you're an existing customer and you call in, you can never get that offer. And you're like, what? Wait a second. I've been with you. And I had this happen with Verizon when I was in California. I was with Verizon for like 15 years. And I remember going in there because they had this new promotional offer, and they said, nope, you can't get that new phone at this discounted price. I'm like, wait a second here. I've been with you for 15 years, and you're not going to give me a discount on the phone? And like, no, that's a promotion only for brand new customers. And I'm like, that is crazy. So think about the experience that you're giving to your existing customers. And I always look as far as, you know, what's your cost to acquire a new customer? But more importantly, what is your cost to keep a customer? And this is one of the things I'm going to be exploring quite a bit over the next couple of months personally with ClickFunnels, is trying to make sure that we're doing more to keep our existing customers, or making sure that we understand the cost to keep a customer in comparison to what's our cost to acquire a customer. So with all that said, pay attention to the companies that you buy products from. How loyal are you to those companies? And why are you so loyal to them? That to me is what branding is all about. It's the reputation that you have with your customers and how much they're willing to talk and go crazy ranting and raving about you to someone they don't even know. So with that, hope that makes sense to you guys. More importantly, I really want to make sure that you guys are having a ton of fun in your own business. And for us, one of the ways we're trying to help people have even greater success with ClickFunnels is through our One Funnel Away Challenge. So if you haven't taken the One Funnel Away Challenge, please go to onefunnelawaychallenge.com, sign up, go through that experience, and let us know kind of what your feedback is. What we've found right now is anyone who goes through that, they become, one, great fans of ClickFunnels, but more importantly, they have amazing success in their own business. And for us, our customer success is the most important thing. So have an amazing day. Check out One Funnel Away, and thanks again for listening. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Funnel Hacker Radio. We are about ready, though, to change some things. And I wanted to kind of reach out real quick and let you understand some of the things you're going to see happening real quick here. Probably about the middle of April of 2019, we're actually going to be changing the kind of the format and really the purpose of this podcast. So up to this point, I've been spending a lot of time interviewing some of our funnel hackers and things and telling their stories. We're going to continue to do that, but we're going to add in a new little twist. Currently, right now, as of today, we are just under 78,000 customers currently using ClickFunnels. And what we thought is, why not have you guys come join us on the journey to create a culture of 100,000 rabid, excited funnel hackers. So what I'd like to do is just invite you along, continue to, if you don't mind, rate, review the podcast. Let us know if other people, even possibly outside of our funnel hacker community, you'd like us to bring in and interview. And really want to make sure that you understand the purpose of this podcast is to help you in building your culture and building your community, your tribe, and really helping you understand what it takes to build a community of super, super excited, passionate customers who rave about your service. More importantly, they spend time talking about it, referring clients to you. So with that said, join us as we on our journey to over 100,000 customers. And we're going to try to get this done before the end of 2019. So thanks so much for listening. Rate and review this and enjoy the journey.